గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 2 పాద 3 వియదధికరణం. నవియదశ్రుతే అస్థితు గౌణ్యసంభవాత్ శబ్దాచ్చ స్యాచైకస్య బ్రహ్మశబ్దవత్ ప్రతిజ్ఞా అహానిహి అవ్యతిరేకాశబ్దేభ్యః యావత్ వికారం తు వికారో లోకవత్. మాతరిష్వాధికరణం. ఏతేన మాతరిష్వావ్యాఖ్యాతః అసంభవాధికరణం. అసంభవస్తు సతో అనుపపత్తేః. తేజోధికరణం. తేజోతః తతాహ్యాహ. అబధికరణం ఆపః. పృథివ్యధికరణం. పృథివీ అధికారరూపశబ్దాంతరేభ్యః. తత్ అభిధ్యానాధికరణం. తత్ అభిధ్యానాదేవతు తల్లింగాత్ సహా. విపర్యాధికరణం. విపర్యేణ తు క్రమః అతః ఉపపద్యతే చ. అంతరా విజ్ఞానాధికరణం. అంతరా విజ్ఞానమనసి క్రమేణ తల్లింగాదితి చేత్ నా విశేషాత్. చరాచర వ్యాపాశ్రయాధికరణం. చరాచర వ్యాపాశ్రయాస్తు స్యాత్ తద్వ్యపదేశః. భాక్తః తద్భావభావిత్వాత్. ఆత్మాధికరణం. నాత్మశ్రుతేః నిత్యత్వాత్ చ తాభ్యః. జ్ఞాధికరణం. న్యోత ఏవ. ఉత్క్రాంతిగత్యధికరణం. ఉత్క్రాంతిగత్యాగాదీనాం స్వాత్మనా చోత్తరయోః న అణుః అతః శ్రుతేః ఇతి చేత్ న ఇతర అధికారాత్. స్వశబ్దోన్మానాభ్యాం చ అవిరోధశ్చందనవత్. అవస్థితి వైశేష్యాదితి చేత్ న అద్యుపగమాత్ ధృతిః. We are seeing the 24th Sutra, 3rd Pada, 2nd Chapter, 240th running Brahma Sutra. And we saw the general analysis of this Sutra, the 24th Sutra. Now we will do the word analysis. And the Sutra that we talked about yesterday is Avasthiti Vaiseshyadhiti Chet Nam Adyubhagamat Dhritihi. Avasthiti Vaiseshyat. Because of the experience of its specific location. That is a sandal paste example, if you remember. So sandal paste is inappropriate or improper. Iti chet, if this is the contention, we have to supply that. A sandal paste example is inappropriate or improper. Iti chet, if this is the contention, na, it is not so. Adyupagamat, because the specific location of the jivatma is already accepted. Shruti clearly places the jivatma in the heart. Shruti. This also we have seen. So this is the general word meaning. Now we will see the significance of the words. Avasthiti means it refers to location. And vaiseshyam means specific. So it is a specific location. And because of the specific location, that is the translation actually. And we should note the Purvapakshi refers to specific location of sandal paste. That is not proved through inference, but it is proved through perception. And how you give that example for jivatma, which is not available for perception, because we cannot give that example because jivatma is not available for perception. Iti chete na adyubhagamate. So Ekadeshi, he expresses a surprise actually. He says the location of jivatma is already accepted through Veda Pramanam. It is with respect to the location of Jivatma, that is Hridi. In several places, Vedas have said that Jivatma is located in the Hridayam. Therefore, Jivatma cannot be Vibhu Pramana either. It will be of the size of the atom only, and therefore Jivatma is Anuhu, or the size of atom, Anu Parimana. So it occurs actually in Prashna Upanishad also, Hridihi Yeshaha Atma, we saw this quotation. And also, it is also given in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4th chapter, 3rd section, 7th mantra also. Yoyam Vijnanamayaha Praneshu Hridyantar Jyotihi Vijnanamayaha Praneshu Hridyantar Jyotihi Purushaha. So, which is there, Hridi, in the Hridayam. So, from these two quotations, we prove that it is like sandal paste making the whole body sentient. So, that is the word meaning significance of this verse. That is his contention. Now, let us go to the next sutra. Gunadvalo Kavate, 25th sutra, 241, running Brahma Sutra. So the argument in support of 23, Sutra 23 is continued also. Here also we will do the general analysis first. Here he says that if you are not satisfied with the sandal paste drishtanta, that example, he gives another example of a substance and a property. Previously it was agent and kriya, the sandal paste and its property. And here he takes the example of a flame or a lamp, that is the example. So a lamp is located in a particular room, let us say. So the light is the property of the flame, and the flame is alpa ashrayaha. We saw yesterday all the alpa ashrayaha and vyapi ashrayaha and all that. So alpa ashrayaha, and the light is the vyapi gunaha. So this is called the deepa drishtanta, and deepasya prabha is the present vyapi guna, deepasya prabha. So similarly, jivatma is like a flame, a powerful dot of life, and the radiant light is like consciousness. That is the example he gives. And consciousness spreads everywhere in the body. And if you extend the wall of the house, for example, the flame extends. And when wall is contracted, the flame also contracts. So also the light, so the radiance. So also, as even the shariram expands, the jivatma gunam expands, and as the jiva contracts, the chaitanya guna also contracts. This is the general analysis of the sutra and general terms. Now let us do the word analysis. The sutra is what? Guna dva lokavata. So va means or. Or. Gunat means because of its pervading property that we got to supply. Gunas, its property, pervading property, the atomic jiva, anu jiva, makes the body sentient because of the pervading property. Lokavati is seen in the world, as in the case of ordinary experiences that we see in the world. Now, va means otherwise. We said or, it is otherwise. Gunat refers to the extensive property. While substance is having extensive property, which is consciousness, consciousness becomes the property of jivatma, just as flame of the lamp. So the consciousness extends to the nail. Here jivatma, which is an anuhu. So the consciousness, the property extends even up to the tip of the nail, the jivatma. So here the jivatma is anuhu. It has the properties of consciousness. So the consciousness extends all over the body. And above all, it has the support of the Shruti also. If you cannot visualize the extensive property for a located substance, you bring to your mind the example of a flame. Flame is an example of located substance, and light extends all over. So this is the example he again tries to bring. And in the next sutra, Vyatireko Gandhavat, 26th sutra, 242nd running Brahma Sutra. So the previous sutra leads to a question. And the answer is given in the 26th sutra by Ekadeshi. So Ekadeshi pointed out in the 25th previous sutra, Jivatma is Anu, Anu Parimana, and it is located in one part of the body, the Hridayam, and the body being bigger and Anu being very small. Then this Jivatma has the property of consciousness, so the Chaitanya Gunaha. So this property pervades the body. So jivatma is dravyam and chaitanyam is gunaha. So atma is substance and consciousness is the property of atma, the substance. So dravyam is alpa ashraya, of alpa dravyam it is, and guna is vyapi gunaha. So substance is non-extensive and the property of consciousness pervades the entire body. So even though atma is in a corner, kanu pramana, the consciousness of atma pervades the body. Therefore, body is sentient simultaneously because it pervades the entire body. Therefore, any part of the body can feel external world. And we talked about the Ganges River yesterday. When you take a dip, we put the hand in the water, the entire body, we feel the coolness all over the body. So the property of Atma pervades all over the body, although Atma is in one part of the body, namely Hridayam here. Then we gave the example of the lamp also. So the property of the flame, the radiance, pervades the entire room and illumines the entire room. So the flame is what? Is Alpadravyam, and the Prabha is Vyapigunaha. Similarly, Atma is Alpadravyam and Chaitanyam is Vyapigunaha. That is his contention. So this leads to a Purvapaksha, which is based on Tarkashastra rule also, which is proved by our experience also. And what is the rule in the Tarkashastra? Property and substance can never be separated. So it has a samavaya sambandha, inseparable relationship, property and substance. And because of this reason, the property cannot exist independent of its substance. For example, if you take a cloth, the cloth cannot be in one corner and the color of the cloth cannot be in another corner. It has to be with the substance only. Therefore, the third color that comes, what is that? Since property cannot exist independent of itself, the property can exist as the substance is. Property and substance cannot be separated. Therefore, the extension of property and of the substance, they should be identical. So Alpadravyam cannot have Vyapi Gunaha. So non-extensive substance cannot have extensive property. Color of cloth cannot go beyond the size of the cloth. And because of that, Anu Atma cannot have Sharira Vyapi Gunam is the objection raised here by the Ekadeshi. Therefore, Anu Parimana Atma cannot have Sharira Vyapi Chaitanya Guna. For this answer is given in the current sutra, 26th sutra. What is that? The answer given by the Ekadeshi, that there is no such rule that property should be as extensive as substance alone. That is the answer given to him. The property can be as extensive as the substance, and also the property can be more extensive than the substance also. We do have such cases. Already one example was given, namely the Deepadravyam and Prabhaguna. Also the example of sun. Sun is far away, but the brilliance of sun pervades here everywhere. Surya Prabha is Guna, which is upon the earth, and the sun is very far away. There is another example also. They give sandal paste dravyam or any perfume for that matter. So perfume is supplied over the body, but the fragrance pervades all over. Therefore, you feel the fragrance. So Gandha is a property and sandal is the dravyam. So chandana paste, sandal paste is in one corner of the room. The guna, the smell, the fragrance, that is all pervading. Likewise, Atma is like a sandal. So here the sandal example is for the fragrance. Therefore, Atma can be Alpa and Chaitanya Guna can be Vyapi. Therefore, Jivatma is Paramanu Rupaha. So this is the contention. Now let us do the word analysis. Vyatirekaha. Vyatirekaha means independent existence of the property is to be admitted. Independent existence of the property we have admitted. Gandhavat. Gandhavat means as in the case of fragrance. Now let us see the significance of the word. Simple shloka, simple sutra. And Vyatirekaha. Vyatirekaha refers to the independent existence I said. So being away from the substance or from the locus. The remoteness of the property from the substance is called Vyatirekaha. The sandal paste is applied, let us say, to the forehead, but you feel the smell all over. So physical separateness is called Vyatirekaha, and dravyam and substance can exist separately is the argument here. So the perfume is somewhere and fragrance is somewhere, the substance is somewhere. So also Jivatma is substance and the property can be separate. Next sutra, Tathacha Darshayati. 27th sutra, 243rd running Brahma Sutra, Tathacha Darshayati. First, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. Here, Ekadeshi continues his argument. He says that this contention of mind is not purely based on my personal likes and dislikes, but it has the support of the scriptures also. It is given in the scriptures, and therefore you should accept this argument. He gives a Shruti Vakyam which occurs in Chandogya Upanishad, 8th chapter, 8th section, 1st mantra. So, udasharava atmanam avekshyam yadatmanona vijani tanme prabhutam iti. So, in that slow, in that particular mantra, what is important is in the last line, atmanam pashyavam alomabhyaha anakebhyaha pratirupam iti. Alomabhyaha anakebhyaha pratirupam iti. Alomabhyaha anakebhyaha means the consciousness pervades up to the hair. Or up to the nail, the consciousness pervades all over the body. In the beginning, the Upanishad had mentioned in the heart, in the Hridayam. See, heart location is given in Dahara Vidya of Chandogya Upanishad. There is a particular section, we have seen that in detail, Dahara Vidya, in Chandogya Upanishad discussion. So, Atma is located in the heart, whereas the consciousness of Atma pervades all over the body. So, it is clear then, that Atma Anu pervades all over the body. And he gives another example also from Kaushitika Upanishad from 4th chapter, 20th mantra. But I'm not going to the mantra. It's a big mantra. So just only to say that those quotations occur, there is such instances occur in the Shruti. So Darshayati Cha. The sutra says Darshayati Cha. Shruti also reveals. Tatha. Tatha means so. This is the running meaning. So now let us see the significance of the words. Shruti also reveals. Tatha. Tatha means exactly in the same manner as I claim so. That's for who says? Ekadeshi. Exactly as I say, Shruti also tells the same thing. This means Atma is located in the heart. Consciousness, the property, pervades the body. Alpadravya, Vyapi Gunatvam, Shrutihi Vadati is his claim. The next sutra, Prithak Upadeshat. The sutra is a defense in favor of the preceding sutra, where intelligence is used as an attribute of the individual, Jivatma, and so separate from it. That's what it says, separate from it. First, let us do the general analysis. In the previous sutra, Atma is located in the heart, and the consciousness pervades the entire body. That was the contention there. So the consciousness being the property of Atma. So all these discussions, consciousness is property of Atma. Atma is located somewhere. It is of the size of Anu. So the Upanishad does not clearly say Atma is Dravyam and Chaitanyam is Guna. It doesn't clearly say. Then how do you know Atma is substance and consciousness is the property? For that, Ekadeshi gives the Shruti support here. Atma and consciousness are separately mentioned, and therefore Atma is substance and consciousness is property, because they are separately mentioned. That is why Shruti mentions them separately. And where does the Upanishad say that the Atma and consciousness as the property separately? He gives two quotations. One is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, second chapter, first section, 17th mantra, where the relevant vakyam is Tat yesham prananam vijnanenam vijnanam adaya. Atma withdraws into the heart with the help of consciousness, it says. So it withholds the sense organs and it sleeps. When it goes to sleep, it withholds the sense. Yesterday we had the discussion on this. It withholds the sense organs and sleeps. So consciousness is the medium used by Atma. So from this, it is clear that Atma is different and consciousness is different. The instrument is different from the subject. So I use the property of speech, let us say. So also Atma uses the property of consciousness. So Atma is in the heart and consciousness is all over the body. And he gives another quotation also from Kaushitika Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 6th mantra. Prajnaya. Hastau samarukhyam, hastabhyam sarvani karmani apnoti, prajnaya shariram samarukhyam, sharirena sukha dukke apnoti. Atma mounts on the body or Atma pervades the body. Atma extends itself through consciousness. That is indicated by the word prajnaya. So instrument is different from the user, the agent. Therefore, Atma is dravyam and Chaitanyam is guna. This is the general analysis. Now let us see the word analysis. Prithak upadeshat. Prithak upadeshat means because of the separate mention of jivatma and consciousness that we have to supply. Because of the separate mention, consciousness is the property of jivatma, which is anu parimanaha, which is of the size of anu. It is one compound word, prithak and upadeshat. Prithak means separate, upadeshat means reference. So separate mention of jivatma and chaitanyam by presenting actually one in nominative case, another is in instrumental case. So because of this reason, it is said that consciousness is pervading property of non-pervading atma. Consciousness is the pervading property of the non-pervading atma. So with this, Ekadeshi Matam is over. Therefore, Shariram becomes sentient because of pervasion of Jivatma property, that is consciousness. So Shariram becomes sentient because of pervasion of consciousness, which is Jivatma property. And the extension of Ekadeshi Matam is, there are so many Jivatmas as there are so many bodies. Also, Paramatma is different from Jivatma, that is stated by the Ekadeshi, which is close to actually Visishtadvaitam also. So this Paramatma is only one. It is Vibhu Parimana, and that is all pervading, and also it is one. So one Paramatma is Vibhu Parimana. Jivatma is not. So one Paramatma that is all pervading, and many Jivatmas which are atomic, anu in size. So therefore, in this matam, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is not possible at all. Now let us take to the Siddhanta in the next sutra. So all these Ekadeshi and Purvapakshi and all, they all have given all those various arguments. Now let us see what Siddhanta is going to say from the next sutra. Sutra 29. Tad guna saratvattu tad vyapadeshaha prajnyavate. Tad guna saratvattu tad vyapadeshaha prajnyavate. See, actually the next four sutras are Siddhanta sutras, which lay down the correct doctrine. So from this sutra, we enter Siddhanta, and this present sutra is considered to be a very, very important sutra. Here, Advaitin's approach is based on this sutra only. The following sutras are the elaboration of this sutra only. So we are going to spend some time on this sutra. And the whole discussion is divided into three portions here. The first portion is the establishment that Jivatma is Vibhu, its all pervasiveness is established, first portion. And second part of discussion is the negation of the size of the atom for the Jivatma. And the third topic is Shruti Virodha Pariharaha, reconciling the seeming contradiction in the Upanishads, that is resolved here. So the first two parts, that is Vibhutvam and Anutvam, Vyasacharya does not do in this particular sutra at all. He just doesn't do it. Vyasacharya deals only the third part only. But we will take up the first two topics also, because Shankaracharya, he has discussed that. And Shankaracharya says, Jivatma has to be accepted as all-pervading only, and it cannot be taken as atomic in size. Jivatma has to be accepted as all-pervading only, cannot be taken as atomic in size. Anupramanam you should not take. And he gives various reasons. And he asks, what is the relationship between Jivatma and Paramatma as revealed in the Shruti? You cannot say that Jivatma and Paramatma are very different. Shruti doesn't say that. So if Jivatma and Paramatma are very separate, then Jivatma will limit Paramatma, and Paramatma cannot be all pervading. plurality limits every member. The Upanishad itself clearly says, as long as one sees differences between Jivatma and Paramatma, one will be afraid of Paramatma. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 1st chapter, 4th section, 2nd mantra and 10th mantra. They say that a person who sees Jivatma and Paramatma as different, it says very categorically, he is ignorant. Not only that, Dvitiyadvai Bhayam Bhavati. So Bibhetim, Tasmad Ekaki Bibheti, Sahaya Mikshan Chakre, Yen Madan Yen Nasti, Kasman Ubibemiti, Tata Evasya Bhayam Viyaya. Dvitiyadvai Bhayam Bhavati, categorically it states, by having two, you are creating fear. And in the 10th mantra also starts with, Brahmava Idamagra Asitim, Tadatmanam Eva Vedaham Brahmasmiti. And in Taittiriya Upanishad also in Brahmanandavalli it is said that even if you make a slight difference between Jivatma and Paramatma, you will be afraid of God, of Ishvara. Even if you make a slight difference between them. Ishvara is also the Laya Karanam, as, and besides being Srishti and Sthiti Karanam, the same Ishvara is Laya Karanam also, in addition to being Srishti and Sthiti Karanam. As long as difference is there and as long as mortality comes, the fear comes. It cannot be avoided. Can you say that there is Karana Karya Sambandha between Jivatma and Paramatma? That is also not possible. Because Ekadeshi, as also Vishishta Advaitins, they accept Jivatma is Nityaha. Jivatma has been there from beginningless time. And he has been changing bodies according to them. This is accepted by all the darshanas. If Jivatma can be accepted as karyam, the effect, an eternal thing cannot be a product. If you think Jivatma as a karyam and the eternal thing nityaha, it cannot be a product. Eternity and production are contradictions. Whatever is born is subject to death. Anything that has janma is subject to maranam also. Jivatma and Paramatma cannot have karana karya sambandha. Veda is not possible. Karana karya sambandha is not possible between Paramatma and Jivatma. Then can you say Jivatma is part of Paramatma? Actually, these discussions all we have done elaborately earlier. Can you say Jivatma is a part of Paramatma? It is also not possible. Why? Because Atma is Nishkalaha, which means Atma is partless. If Jivatma is part of Paramatma, then what will happen? The problems of Jivatma will belong to Paramatma. And then Paramatma will become what? Paramatma also will become Mahasamsari. He also will become Mahasamsari. So all our problems will go to Paramatma. Paramatma will suffer the problem of every Jivatma. Because Jivatma is part of Paramatma. Just as space is partless, Akasha is partless, Paramatma also is partless. And since all these are possible, only one possibility is possible, that is Jivatma and Paramatma should be identical. Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam alone is possible. So what has been now talking so far? The first part we analyzed the relationship between Jivatma and Paramatma. And we said Jivatma is not different from Paramatma. Since Shruti strongly refutes the difference, we cannot say Jivatma is different. And similarly, we cannot say Jivatma is part of Paramatma because Upanishads are very clear that Paramatma is partless. Mundaka Upanishad quotation and all we have seen earlier. And logically also it is true. If Jivatma is different from and Paramatma, then Paramatma will become a limited entity. We will limit Paramatma. If Jivatma is part of Paramatma, then Paramatma will be subject to modification. Vikaras. So if Paramatma has parts, then we will say Paramatma is Savikaraha. It subject to modifications. So this leaves us with only one option, that is Jivatma is identical with Paramatma. And it is only Nama Bedaha and not Nami Bedaha. So one Atma has got two names. One is Paramatma and the other is Jivatma. Different names are possible from different angles. Two different namas are there, but they relate to only one entity. All the Mahavakyas, they support this conclusion only. All Mahavakyas reveal Jivatma and Paramatma Aikyam. Once you say Jivatma and Paramatma are the same, then you should not have the doubt about the size of Jivatma at all. Jivatma cannot have small size because it is identical with Paramatma, which is Vibhuparimana. So all philosophers, they agree Paramatma is Vibhu. And since Jivatma is non-different from Paramatma, Jivatma also should be Vibhu. Thus, Mahavakya Pramanena Jivatma Vibhutvam Siddham Bhavati. So the Mahavakya Pramanas. This is the first topic. Now let us go to the next topic. Namely, the negation of Anuttvam. In the beginning of this particular sutra, I identified three topics. And I said first two topics were not discussed by Vyasacharya. Only the third topic was elaborated by Vyasacharya here. But Shankaracharya addresses the first two topics. So now let us go to the second topic. What is the second topic? Negation of Anuttvam of Jivatma. Jivatma is not of atomic size. So Ekadesi's contention was that Jivatma is Anu. And it occupies a portion of the body, especially in the Hridaya. And also his contention is what? This Jivatma is a Dravyam, a substance, which has got the property of consciousness. So Chaitanyam is Guna, consciousness is Guna property according to Ekadeshi. So Guna Dravya Sambandha, that's what he says. Property and substance, that relationship. And Ekadeshi also said that the Dravyam, the substance, is within the heart. And it is Alpa Ashrayaha. And the property is pervading the entire body. So Alpa Ashrayaha Vyapi Gunaha. So Guna is extending all over the body. Now we say that this contention is not acceptable. Siddhanti says this contention of Ekadeshi is not acceptable. According to reasoning and our experience also, property has to remain in the substance only for its very existence, because it has to remain a substance only for its very existence. Property and substance have inseparable existence relationship. One presupposes existence of the other. It is not right to say substance is non-extensive and property is extensive. We say that such a rule need not be there, and there can be exception though. Flame is the substance. Radiance of the flame is the property, and we experience that the flame is in part of room, in some part of the room, and the radiance is everywhere. We already saw this example. Then he gave the second example. What is the second example he gave? The sandal paste example he gave. And the sandal paste substance, the dravyam, that occupies maybe one corner of the room, and its fragrance, its property, it pervades all over the room. So sandal paste is Alpa Ashrayaha and the fragrance is Vyapi Gunaha. So if you accept property outside the substance, then what does it mean? The property beyond the substance, that part of the property will become then independently existent. I hope you are with me. If you accept property outside the substance, then it means the property beyond the substance, that part of the property which is beyond the substance, will become independently existent. In addition, the moment the property exists independently, it will not be a property, but it will become the substance. It is not logically possible. Shankaracharya argues that the radiance of the flame is not property of the flame at all. The radiance of the flame is not the property of the flame at all. In fact, radiance and flame are the same substance called Tejas Tattvam. Radiance and flame are the same substance called Tejas Tattvam. We have two different names because where the flame is, there is Tejas Tattvam. That is densely available. Where the flame is, the Tejas Tattvam is densely available in that place. And where the radiance is, the Tejas Tattvam is brighter form only. It is not densely available. The flame and radiance have no guna, guni, sambandha at all. According to Shankaracharya, the flame and the radiance do not have guna, guni, sambandha at all. And as regards the sandal paste example, where we feel the fragrance, as you can feel the fragrance substance is there in minute form. Not that it is absent. The fragrance substance, namely the sandal, whatever it is, sandal powder, is there in minute form. The only thing is, when the fragrance substance is too minute, the substance is not absent, but the nose perceives the gandha, the smell, and the minuteness of the substance is not perceived because of the limitations of the eyes. It is the dosha of the eye not to be able to perceive such a minute substance. Not that it is not there, it is the inability of the perceptible, that perceiving faculty called the eyes, its limitation. So there also dravyam exists. Dravyam is not absent there. Dravyam exists there also. And Shankaracharya quotes a shloka from Mahabharata in support of his argument, which says, dravya and guna are not separable. Upalabhyapsu chete gandham kechit bruyuhu anaipunaha. Prithivyameva tam vidyate apo vayumcha samshritam. Vyasacharya says here in Mahabharata, when one smells good or foul smell in water, if one says the smell is there in the water or in air, they are called unintelligent people. Anaipunaha. The intelligent people should know that the smell belongs to Prithivi, the earth. The minute earth particles only, and they are in the water and in the air. Those earth particles are so minute that we are unable to see them. And therefore, we think that there is no earth particle at all. Gandha guna cannot be separate from Gandha dravyam, and it cannot be more extensive than the dravyam. So it in other places where you are not seeing the earth or the gandha, the sandal paste, you are seeing the minutest particles of those sandals. Atma cannot be property of body pervading consciousness. Atma cannot have any property at all. And where is the question of Chaitanyam property, consciousness property? Atma is nirgunaha. Since Atma is propertyless, no property exists. And so where is the question of Anu Atma with property at all? Even logical support is not there. Reasoning tells me that anything with property is what? Is Savikaram, subject to modifications. And that thing will be subject to modification. Therefore, Atma cannot be accepted as Saguna Dravyam at all. Just as Atma cannot be accepted as Guni Dravyam, consciousness cannot be accepted as your property. Scripture very clearly reveals that consciousness is a substance and not a property, because if consciousness is a property, it will become a dependent entity on the substance, as we just saw. So property cannot be Swatantra. However, the scripture reveals that the consciousness as independent. And the second reason is what? Once consciousness becomes a property, it will become perishable. And when the substance becomes perishable, the scripture says that the consciousness cannot be a property. Because of these reasons, Jivatma cannot be taken as atomic substance with pervading consciousness. These are all various reasons Shankaracharya argues. Now we have to go to the third and final topic of Shruti Virodha Pariharaha. As I mentioned earlier, Vyasacharya addresses only this topic. The previous discussions were all given by Shankaracharya in the Bhashya. When Jivatma is all pervading, several scriptural statements cannot be explained at all, because they are all given there. And one statement he said is what? Jivatma leaves the body, it travels and comes to another body. Yesterday we spoke about the travel. There are several Shruti statements. They talk about Jivatma leaving, Jivatma traveling, and Jivatma taking rebirth. So how is it possible if Jivatma is Vibhu Parimala? If it is going to be all pervading, how this travel is possible? Yesterday I told, travel is something where A has to travel to B, means A has to travel from a place where A is not to a place B. When Jivatma is all pervading, where is the question of travel? It is present everywhere. And the second difficulty is Jivatma resides in the Hridayam. And if you say the Jivatma is all pervading, how do you say that it is located? You cannot talk of a location at all. And the third thing that is said is Jivatma is clearly said to be Anu, very distinctly in the Upanishads. And it also gave the measurements. Yesterday I told you the measurements. Take the tip of the hair and divide it into 100 parts and divide it further to 100 parts, 1/10, 1/10,000 and all that thing. So how do you explain those Shruti statements? So this question we'll ask. And the fourth problem is what? Shruti very clearly says that Jivatma has consciousness, because they are separately mentioned as Jivatma pervades the body through consciousness. These are all Shruti statements. Consciousness is different from Jivatma, and Jivatma travels through consciousness. So these are all so many contradictions. They all have to be resolved. And next, Jivatma is said to be Vibhu also, all pervading also. And now we will see the content of the first sutra. Vyasacharya says that we should clearly understand I, the Atma, am all pervading Paramatma only. I, the Atma, am all pervading Paramatma only. This is the main teaching of the Upanishad. Vyasacharya emphasizes that Aham Brahma Asmi is the truth and the teaching of the Upanishad. Now there is a problem. Along with the all-pervading consciousness, what coexists along with that? Along with the all-pervading consciousness, the anatma, buddhi, or the mind that coexists with it. This buddhi or mind is located where? In the physical body. So physical body is the container, buddhi is the content, their mind. And consciousness pervades all over, including the intellect buddhi also. And because of the coexistence or proximity of Atma and Anatma, Anatma is buddhi mind, Chetana Atma and Achetana buddhi, because of the proximity, the property of the one is mistaken to be the property of the other. The Adhyasa teaching is the second source to address this. So the Adhyasa Bhashyam, we saw it in the beginning. So because of the Chetana Atma and Achetana Buddhi, the attributes of one is falsely transferred to the other, which we call it as Adhyasa. So for this, we give the example of the crystal. The crystal example I gave then also. when a colorless crystal and a colored object are in proximity, you have a colorless crystal, clear crystal, and you keep a colored object next to it, the crystal seemingly appears as colored crystal. The colored object transfers the color to the crystal, and the transference is not the real physical transfer, but an apparent transfer. For example, if you lean on a freshly painted wall, the color of the wall is actually transferred to your cloth, your dress. We are not talking about that transfer. In case of the crystal example, the color is false, color of the object kept by the side of it is falsely transferred, as though seemingly transferred. Similarly, the buddhi guna, the intellectual property, the inter property, the intellect, the anatma property, buddhi is anatma, is seemingly transferred to the atma, even though atma is propertyless. No attributes, no property to atma. And the scriptures very clearly say that atma does not have any connection with punya papas, because atma is what? Asangoham. Atma is asangaha. The attributes are never transferred. They are only seemingly transferred. So the arrival and departure, for example, this is very, very common that we normally use every time. When we go by train, the arrival and departure of the train, what do we say is falsely attributed to the arrival and departure of the place. We normally say so-and-so station has come, so-and-so station is gone. Stations are there wherever they are, only the train is moving. So the arrival and departure of the train is falsely attributed to the arrival and departure of the stations. Buddhi is located in the body. I am not located. I, the Chaitanyam, I am not located in the body. Location belongs to only Buddhi, the inert material substance. I think I am located. Similarly, at the time of death, Buddhi leaves the body. And again, we transfer the utkranti guna of buddhi to atma. Buddhi only leaves. Similarly, buddhi comes to another body, rebirth. All these features, they belong to buddhi only. But I think I travel. Atma chaitanyam, I travel. Buddhi is located in the body, and I think jivatma is located. Buddhi alone pervades the body and makes the body sentient through what? Through chidabhasa, reflected consciousness. And I mistake atma is pervading the body and making it sentient. Atma is all pervading, but what pervades the body is nothing but buddhi only, with the help of chidabhasa. All this because of the transference of buddhi attributes to atma. All transference of buddhi attributes to atma, buddhi mind. So when I look at myself with falsely transferred attributes, I am called jivatma. When I look at myself with all these falsely transferred attributes, I am called jivatma. When I understand that these are all falsely transferred attributes, I know I do not have the real attributes. And the day I know that I do not have these real attributes, I claim I am Paramatma. No attributes. As long as I associate with falseness of attributes, I think I am Jivatma. This is called Adhyasaha. Now comes the next question. What is that? I take Buddhi's attributes to be my attributes, and I call myself as Jivatma. I also talk of departure, I talk of arrival, and I talk of travel of Atma. I can understand it is due to my ignorance. Okay, till I get Jnanam, I will be talking all this. However, the Shruti itself talks all this. I am ignorant, okay. But Shruti itself talks about all this, arrival, departure, travel, and all that. Is Shruti also confused? It is because of my confusion I commit this mistake, I agree. My confusion, my ignorance, and all that. But how can Shruti talk of Jivatma traveling? Very important question. Shruti wants to tell all of us that we are all confused. The problem is what? The problem is the person is so thoroughly convinced that I am traveler, I leave, I come back, all that thing. I'm so thoroughly convinced. And the Shruti teaches the highest philosophy. No, 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 you are not traveling. Atma is not traveling and all. You are Atma, only your buddhi goes and all that. The student will not be able to swallow this radical idea. The student is not a Vedanti Jnani. The student will even question the very validity of the Shastras and even reject the Shastras Pramanam as Purva Pakshi always wants to do. Therefore, Shruti wants to willfully come to our level. Willfully, important word. Shruti wants to willfully come to our level, adds to our confusion, travels along with us, and this temporary acceptance is called Anuvada Vakyani. These are called Anuvada Vakyas in Shastras. So the acceptance of mistake as though correct is called Anuvada Vakyas. Shruti accepts the Jivatma status, Jivatvam status, in the form of Anuvada and not in the form of teaching. This is as the form of Anuvada. It accepts this, but not, it's a temporary acceptance, but not as a form of teaching. Shruti need not teach me that I am small. I already know I am small. Shruti should only teach me what I don't know. Shruti has to teach me only what I don't know. Then only I will improve myself. By removal of adhyasa, I come to know of my vibhuttvam. I think I am alpajnaha, alpashaktiman. That's what I am thinking. But Shruti has to come and tell me, by removing adhyasa, I should come to know my vibhuttvam. I am all pervading. Mahan Atma, all that thing. So from the point of view of Shruti, Jivatma is Anuvadaha, that is temporarily accepting the Jivatmatvam. This is the first part of the sutra. Then in this long sutra, the last word is Prajna, Prajnavate. Prajnavate. Here, Vyasacharya addresses Ekadeshi and says, you asked a question. If Jivatma is all-pervading, how do you account for the Shruti Vakyam in which the Jivatma is a limited entity, traveling individual and all that? How are you going to account for that? That is his question. Vyasacharya wants to point out that you yourself have got contradiction problem, and once you solve it, I can give the answer also. Jivatma is Anuhu, according to Ekadeshi. He says Jivatma is Anu, Paramatma is Vibhu, all pervading. And Vyasacharya says, you claim Paramatma is all pervading and there are Shruti statements in which Paramatma is supposed to be located in the heart also. So you claim Paramatma is all pervading, but it's also located in the heart also. Shruti says, in every puja, what do? You invite Paramatma for puja. And at the end of the puja, you even request the Lord to go to your place. You say, how can all pervading Paramatma can come, can go, can reside in the heart? In Dahara Upasana, Paramatma is supposed to be located in the heart. In Dahara Upasana, we have seen that also in Chandogya. So there are Shruti Vakyams where Paramatma is said to be Anupu. In Chandogya Upanishad, third chapter, it is said, Paramatma is Anuku. Yeshama Atma Antarhridaye Aniyan Vriherva Yavadva Darshapadva Shyamakadva Shyamaka Tanduladva Yeshama Atma Antarhridaye Jayayan Prithivya Jayayan Antarikshan Jayayan Divaha Jayayan Yebhyo Lokebhyaha. All that it says, myself, within the heart, Atma, smaller than a grain of rice, than a barley, a corn, a mustard seed, than a grain of a millet, I'm smaller than that. kernel of a grain of a millet. This is myself within the heart. And greater than the earth, greater than the atmosphere, greater than rice, greater than the sky, greater than all these worlds. Paramatma is smaller than the rice, barley, mustard seed and all that. And even an atom, how are you going to reconcile these statements in Shruti? They cannot say, because they are of opposite attributes. Certainly you have to accept one attribute of Paramatma and explain away the other problem. It is for the sake of meditation. The Shruti is temporarily accepting certain limitations, but there is no tatparyam in the Shruti statements. It is for the sake of only meditation, to train the mind, to focus the mind, in subtler and subtler objects. Otherwise, anutvam and vibhutvam cannot reconcile at all. So if this is your explanation for Paramatma, then I can give the same reasons for my Jivatma also. That is identical with Paramatma according to me, Vyasacharya says. You accept one and the other thing, you explain away the problem. You don't want to explain that. On the part of Jivatma, temporary acceptance for gaining maturity. And in the case of temporary acceptance, it is for the performance of puja, meditation and all that. So it is concluded, Jiva is Vibhu only. This is Vyasacharya's argument. And now let us do the word analysis. Tad Vyapadeshaha Tu. To this, however, Tad Vyapadeshaha, scriptural statements regarding Jivatma's limited size. Tad Guna Saratvat. That is due to the prominence of the transferred properties of the intellect. Guna. Guna refers to the transferred properties of the intellect. Pragnavat. As in the case of Paramatma. Pragna here, Paramatma. This is the running name. And the significance of the words, let us see. You can see quickly. So, Tad Guna Saratvat. Guna, the property and dominance, they are Pradhanatvam. It's a Pradhanatvam. The Buddhi Guna transferred to Atma. Atma has two Gunas. One is its original Guna and the other is transferred Guna. So, we already talked about intrinsic and what is that other property? Intrinsic property and transfer property. So now Atma appears with Buddhi. Actually, yesterday also when we talked about this knowledge and the knowledge and knowerhood, the intrinsic and the incidental properties. So Atma appears with Buddhi property. We cannot say Buddhi is Ragi Dveshi. We do not claim our original glory, but claim non-existent, the so-called glories with problems. In simple language, anatma dharma adhyasa. Because of the superimposition of anatma's property, when we transfer those attributes, it is because of ignorance. And it is not a voluntary action. It is an involuntary, intrinsic action. In the case of Vedas, it is not because of ignorance, but for winning the confidence of the student. And it is called anuvada. They have a separate term called anuvada. Tu means it indicates. Indicates Purvapakshi or Ekadeshi Matam is not true. And Siddhanta is correct. Tat Vyavadeshaha. So Jivasya Anutvam. Jivasya Anutvam means the limited size of Jiva. Shruti is mentioned Vyavadeshaha of limited size of Jiva's Anutvam. That is temporary. It is not true. It is only temporary. Prajnavate means Paramatma. It refers to Paramatma. Just as temporarily Shruti accepts Paramatma is located in a space like Hridayam and all, and such Paramatma is limited. As temporarily Shruti accepts the statements, Paramatma is in Vaikuntha also, Paramatma in Kailasha also, everywhere. Similarly, Jivatma in Hridayam means Jivatma is in Hridayam also. It is not Hridayam only, but it is Hridayam also. So with this, the 29th sutra is over. It's a very, very important sutra. And now we will go to the next sutra, 30th sutra, in the next class. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti shanti shanti. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.